Paul Charchian here, longtime fantasy players. You'll remember my first fantasy company, Fanball.com, one of the original fantasy sports sites. Great news. I've got the band back together. Yes, Fanball.com is back with many of the same people, and we're ready for a new era. You know, I built LeagueSafe as the industry's first consumer protection service, making sure that winners got paid, so it shouldn't surprise you that Fanball.com is the only fantasy sports company built from the ground up with a singular mission to ensure fair play. In addition to all the awesome free content that you remember from Fanball, we also have season-long and daily fantasy sports contests. And best of all, Fanball.com has the Fanball number. Your Fanball number identifies your skill level and ensures that you play in contests against players at your skill level. No longer will regular players like you be overrun by hundreds of expert-level entries into your contests. If your Fanball number is 55, you're not going to be playing against experts rated in the 80s and 90s. I've leveled the playing field with a Fanball number at Fanball.com. Get your Fanball number today.
We're putting the band back together.
From the Twisted Minds, we brought you the original Fanball.
We had a bad pop enough to turn goat piss in the gas.
This is the Fanball Fantasy Football Podcast.
If you're dumb, surround yourself with smart people. And if you're smart, surround yourself with smart people who disagree with you.
Welcome to a Week 3 Waiver Wire edition of Fantasy Football Weekly and Fanball Podcast, both together in one. I am Paul Jarchian. My co-host today is Scott Fish. Hello, Scott.
How you doing, Paul?
Good.
First
thanks.
Two-person episode here.
Yeah, it's the first time we've ever done this solo. We've always had Jay in with this. The first time you and I just going mano a mano here.
Nice.
Now, your temptation is going to be to just agree with all of the tremendous and highly salient insight that we're going to pass along here with our Week 3 waiver wire recommendations, but don't do it. We want you to be the voice of reason when we go off the rails, okay? All right, good. Let's begin at the quarterback position. I think there's only one guy that I'm particularly interested in, and that's Trevor Siemian, available in about 60% of leagues. And it's funny, I picked him up ruefully last week in my Dynasty League, Empire League, actually, where you can keep guys. And I'm like, all right, he's looked pretty good. But then, what a game did he play.
Yeah.
Now, part of it got helped by the numerous injuries to the Cowboys in that game and their secondary. But now we're talking about the NFL's leader in touchdown passes, and he's got a running touchdown to in there as well. And he passes the eye test. Siemian's look good.
Yeah, he does. He had two in his first game, four in his second game. He has thrown a couple picks, but he's looked really good, and he did that last year. He had a couple 300-yard games last year. I don't know. It's a really tough division with the Chiefs and Chargers and Raiders, but, you know, you can score some points against the Raiders. So for the rest of the season, I like him. I don't know that I like him as a starter. You don't want to rely on him, but he's a good streaming option.
Well, had you relied on him in the first 2 weeks, you'd be sitting in a good spot.
That is
so
true.
Maybe, you know, and I think a lot of people, based on what the Cowboys did last week to the Giants, I think there are a lot of people that were worried about starting them this week, and look what happened.
I know, but now we realize that the Giants haven't scored over 20 points in, what, 7 or 8 weeks now?
Yeah.
Maybe that offense is just terrible.
Now, Siemian did lose his starting left tackle, Garrett Bowles. Bowles is probably going to miss a couple of weeks, and that may create some problems for Siemian. But long term, I'm still pretty optimistic, just again, because I think he's played well. Deshaun Watson and Deshaun Kizer are both broadly available around 50% in each. These are two guys that I think in any given game you're hoping for like a passing touchdown, 40 or 50 rushing yards, and in a coin flip's chance at a rushing touchdown. I mean, you're really playing more for these guys' legs than arms.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, Kizer's got a total of like 400 yards in the first two games, but he had that great
migraine
run. Yes, the migraine that took him out for part of the game yesterday. Apparently, the coach said that he only gets them once every 6 months, so he should be fine for the rest of the season, right?
Well, yeah, he's done for the year.
Yep,
that's
right.
That's
it. Yeah. So, no, you are playing for those legs. You are playing for that big play, and for a waiver wire guy that's not going to cost you very much, he's a decent ad.
Yeah, Watson had the long 50-yard run that was just electrifying, and that's what you're playing for with both of those guys. I don't bank on rushing quarterbacks.
Mm-mm.
Let's go
go to the running back position. These are rushers I can count on. Let's start with Chris Carson, still available in 50% of leagues, which
That's
I find shocking.
Yeah.
Where do, I, these are people that just paid. They must have just thought Eddie Lacy was going to house that job or whatever. I liked Thomas Rawls coming into the preseason, but he got hurt, and he's still hurt. Mm-hmm. He played hurt last week, and then Carson got 21 touches. Rawls only had 5, and Carson looked pretty good running behind a terrible offensive line.
Yep, we're talking about the, what, a sixth or seventh leading rusher in the NFL, Chris Carson, yeah. After just 2 games. Yeah, the thing that I like is he's good in both the passing game and the rushing game. 20, like you said, 21 carries last week, over 4 yards a carry. That is a running back that you can count on. And he's done it in some pretty not very good games behind a terrible O-line as well.
Absolutely. Carson's is he a break the bank guy for you? Do you think you get your waiver, your free agent blind bidding percentage into the 50s? I've got him pegged at 40 because of the limitations of the Seattle offense and because I still think Rawls, when healthy, is a good back. It's just we haven't seen him healthy in 2 years.
Yeah, and that's the problem. I generally don't break the bank for running backs like this unless I am already severely hurt. I'm the David Johnson owner or something like that. I'm 40 might be high for me, but if you're in need, maybe that's okay.
All right, Washington owners may have need after Rob Kelly broke a rib. You can sometimes play on the broken rib with the special protector that they'll wear. But pain management is an issue, although they'll shoot these guys up a lot. And the other thing that happens, and this is a quiet part of this that you don't hear a lot, when they wear the rib protector, it means that when they carry the ball, a lot of times the running motion of the ball goes across the chest, and now you've got this smooth surface across your chest, and it creates a lot of fumbles. Mm-hmm. So a lot of guys can't run the ball and secure the ball when they wear the chest protector. Either way, Rob Kelly's out for a while. Your thoughts on Samaje Perine and Chris Thompson?
Well, I like Chris Thompson just as a cheaper PPR option. Samaje Perine, he's just not that special to me. And I think it might be one of those ugly splits that we don't like to see. I like that offense as a passing offense much more than a rushing offense. So I think Chris Thompson at a cheaper waiver amount would be the way I'd go.
Yeah, I think you may have to put in about the same for both, though. I think they're both fairly expensive right now if you're going to try to get them. Thompson's largely owned. I think he's like a 70% ownership rate. Mm-hmm. Perine, a lot of people dropped him after week one when he had, I think, 1 snap or 0 snaps. And then Rob Kelly has this really nice game and then breaks his rib. So now Perine's available in a few more leagues, which is convenient.
It's crazy what a huge flash play does to waiver wire budgets.
I know, isn't it? All it takes is something to get you on SportsCenter,
yes.
Right? Let's talk Buck Allen. I think this one's particularly thorny for fantasy owners. It's thorny in part because Terrence West has got soft tissue injury, and you take Woodhead out. We know that they want to throw to somebody, and it looks like Buck Allen's going to be that guy. But now West may or may not come back for a couple of weeks. That muddies the waters. The loss of guard Marshall Yanda muddies the waters. Yeah. I think this one's a little bit tricky for fantasy owners to figure out. What would you do with Buck Allen?
It sucks because I'm a Buck Allen fan. I liked him.
Why?
I liked him coming out of USC. I thought he was just a dual threat back that could run between the tackles. He had over 40 catches his senior year, his final year. He had 40 plus catches his first year in Baltimore. I'm a little more skittish about this one, though. Despite my like for Buck Allen, I feel like they could just play the hot hand every week. I think Alex Collins, who did look good on limited touches, could come in and play spoiler a little bit. And like you said, Yanda's out, so the line's going to be worse. I'm not risking a lot of money on Buck Allen.
What would you risk? We've got our blind bidding recommendation at 30% right now, under the assumption that no matter what happens with West, Buck Allen's going to turn into your Danny Woodhead role. And from a PPR standpoint, I think he's pretty safe that way.
I think if he does take that role and Woodhead doesn't come back near the end of the season on that IR boomerang, I think I'd probably be more near 20%. But 30% is fair if you're in real need.
All right. Let's go to Chris Johnson. It surprises nobody that Kerwin Williams quickly got passed. I mean, why even have him on roster if he's that bad, right? That Chris Johnson can come off the sofa and outrun you. Why was Kerwin Williams even rostered?
I know.
And not Chris Johnson.
he had a good yards per carry the last year or two, but yeah, he did not look good. And
no,
man, Chris Johnson, they must just have a deal with Chris Johnson. Hey, sit around here and we'll bring you in if we need you or something.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he was what, 11 for 44, like 4 yards per carry.
Nothing special.
I'm not buying into anything Arizona while David Johnson's out right now, really on the running back side.
Can that offense get any older?
Oh, seriously.
It's just, you know, it's
Palmer and Fitzgerald and
I know.
Chris Johnson. Yeah, I might be the one guy out there that's spending 0% on Chris Johnson. I can't do it. If I can get maybe 1%, you know, throw a buck or two. But
well, somebody else will get him at that price. Exactly. We're recommending 15%, but okay. I think there are people that are going to break the bank on
it. Oh, man,
I think that's a misstep here.
Yep.
I just don't think this offense is good enough to support him. If he could play the Colts every week, I would break the bank on him. All right, a couple of guys that I think are worth flyers. Donta Foreman is interesting in that Bill O'Brien said he was going to give him more carries, and then he did. He got 12 carries on Thursday night. Lamar Miller got 18, so that's a 2-3 ratio. I just thought Foreman looked better. I mean, just from the eye test, mm-hmm. I thought he ran harder and had more speed. I wonder if. You know, and when you see a sputtering offense, they're more likely to make changes. I wonder if this thing doesn't turn into a closer to a 50-50 timeshare soon.
I can see that. You were talking to a guy that has never liked Lamar Miller.
Me either.
I've just never liked
I wish him. You'd have been around last preseason to support me. Yeah. It was me against everybody in the office on Lamar Miller.
Yeah, that's probably the one issue that Brian Johnson and I have with each other is that I do not like Lamar Miller.
Right.
So I'm the type of guy that I will buy into Deonta Foreman, mainly because he's just not Lamar Miller. He did look good. I thought he looked, like you said, better than Lamar Miller.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Bill O'Brien has no problem pulling a quarterback.
If you'll pull a quarterback in week one at halftime, why wouldn't you do that with your running game?
Yeah, if Foreman's getting it done, Foreman's getting it done.
I think he's a nice speculative pickup right now.
And I think he's a better goal line back, too.
He may be. He's big.
Yeah.
Ish. Then this one's a little bit trickier. Orleans Darkwa. He's not a special talent, but it doesn't take a special talent to be better than Paul Perkins. Perkins averaging 1.9 yards per carry despite 126 career carries, Paul Perkins has never scored a touchdown.
That is rough.
Not by land, not by air, not by sea, not interdimensionally. He has never just like teleported himself into the end zone. He has never been in the end zone. I feel like Darkwa, who's averaging 5.2 yards per carry, by the way, feels like the better runner to me.
He might be. Before the season, I was on Shane Vereen instead of Perkins, mm-hmm. and I'm still on that page. I don't know that Orleans Darkwa is the guy I'd want there. I'd probably want Vereen, but, you know, on the off chance, this is another one that I'm probably not going to win him because I would throw a couple bucks at him.
Well, no, that's all you have to for Orleans Darkwa. Yeah. He's a $1 guy, and you just see if it works out your way. All right, let's go to the wide receiver position. I want to start with the guy I think you should spend the most money on, and that's J.J. Nelson. He now has touchdowns in 6 of the last 7 games. He's been targeted at least 6 games in both of the games this season, and John Brown is already all but been ruled out. They don't expect him to play this week, and I don't even think it matters much if John Brown's in or out, but you know it breaks up the rotation of Nelson, Brown, and now it just turns into Nelson Brown.
Exactly.
And so I think there's just that many more reps for Nelson, but even when John Brown comes back, I think Nelson can do okay.
Yeah, and with David Johnson out, the Cardinals have to pass a ton.
Yeah.
We saw that with J.J. Nelson playing 50 snaps last week, which is a lot of snaps for a wide receiver. If you're going to get on the field that often, David Johnson's going to stay out. If John Brown and his sickle cell and his injuries continue, God, he's such a good ad. But, man, that's almost a break the bank player at this point. So many people are on him.
J.J. Nelson. And it's amazing how few were on him at this time last week.
Yeah, that's weird.
I want to stay at the wide receiver position. A couple of more guys I want to mention. Jermaine Kearse, who's been, frankly, I mean, he's doing what we thought Robbie Anderson would do, which is we figured that offense can only support one receiver. And I think most people figured it'd be Robbie Anderson. He's the incumbent. He doesn't totally suck. He only mostly sucks. And as it turns out, it's Jermaine Kearse, who has been getting all of the love. He leads the team in targets, red zone targets, catches, and he's got 3 times as many yards as the next closest wide receiver. You buying into Jermaine Kearse?
Man, that's tough. I mean, there's just no weapons there, so you almost have to. It's crazy that he got on the team, what, 4 days, 5 days before the season started, and he is their guy, their weapon. As long as he's healthy, I wouldn't break the bank for him, as we've said. But, you know, throw 15, 20% on him.
I've got 20%.
That's fair for a guy that's getting that kind of volume, especially consistently over 2 weeks. Yeah, I definitely with you there.
Sneaky potential angle with Rashard Higgins. He's your replacement for Corey Coleman in Cleveland. Coleman broke his hand again, which is sad. I think Coleman's a great talent. If you can't stay on the field, it doesn't matter, and he's never had a quarterback to throw to him. But the long and short of it is Higgins is going to have a great opportunity here. Even with Corey Coleman off the field, Kenny Britt was a utter non-factor in this offense, and they went immediately to Higgins. 11 targets to Higgins, which is crazy. And he looks like the early favorite from a preference standpoint for Kaiser. What are your thoughts on Rashard Higgins, second year guy?
He does, but this is one that really scares me because I could easily see this being 11 targets this week, three targets the next, and then seven, and then two. And
even with Coleman out, though, I think Higgins is your starter.
That is the one nice thing.
Yeah.
Since Britt snaps, he out-snapped Britt as well, which is not good for
Britt. Off the bench.
Off the bench, out-snapped Britt as well. I'm a Kenny Britt fan, but man, something's going on there that is not getting him on the field. So it's a fair ad, but he's one that I like right now, but I'm way more scared. I'm way more skittish to put any real decent money on.
I had a couple of people, and you know, as you are familiar with my preseason player rankings cheat sheet, because you helped me format it and do some other things, and it goes up. It went up to like 63 at the wide receiver position. And a couple of guys on Twitter who I don't know, one of them is some kind of self-proclaimed fantasy guy, expert or something, ripping me for not having Kenny Britt listed in my top 63. Mm. And now I'm feeling pretty good about
that. A little bit better.
I shouldn't even entertain that stuff. But sometimes it sticks with you going, really? When people get nasty because you don't have Kenny Britt in your top 63. Let's talk Jaguars, Marquise Lee and Allen Hurns. Mm-hmm. Do you have a preference for one over the other?
Well, I personally, as a player, as a football watcher, I think Marquise Lee is a better football player. Mm-hmm. Allen Hurns was better 2 years ago. Marquise Lee was better last year, but Allen Hurns was a little injured.
Yeah.
Interesting thing about Allen Hurns, out of wide receivers that have at least 3 red zone targets, he's one of only 2 players he's the only wide receiver that's caught all of them.
Okay.
3 for 3. Kobe Fleener's the other 4 for 4. If he keeps getting that kind of red zone look for the Jaguars, he's got some upside there, and I'd probably take Hurns over Lee just by a hair. But
even in PPR leagues where Lee may be a better just pure receptions guy,
I already said I like Lee as a player better. So in PPR leagues, it comes a little closer.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for a boomer bust flex play, which is what I generally do in my flex, Hurns might be a touchdown guy this year, but Lee might be a little bit safer.
Devin Funchess, I think, is going to fill some of the void left by Greg Olsen, who's going to miss the better part of probably 2 months. Funchess, look, you know, he's had opportunities to shine many, many times, never really come through for us to this point. What do you think of this time?
You're trying to set me up on a tee for this one.
A little bit, yeah.
I do not like Devin Funchess at all, but he plays New Orleans this week, and
he does. Exactly.
He has
playable this week.
He 8 of his 9 touchdowns come in games where the Panthers score at least 4 touchdowns.
Oh, that's a good stat.
And 6 of the 9 came in games where the total score was over 66.
Wow.
So he really only performs in blowouts.
Yeah.
When the Panthers score under 28, like last week, he just had his highest yardage total and tied his highest reception total.
Okay.
He doesn't show up when they don't blow up.
Yeah.
So,
but this week it could happen.
This week it could happen.
It might be a 1 week pickup.
Yeah.
For Devin Funchess.
He might actually be worth a pickup this year, but I am not buying Devin Funchess. He had a 39% catch rate last year. Mm-hmm. He's not a good player when you watch him.
The conventional wisdom, I think, among many fantasy players is at the draft time is I can find a tight end.
Yes.
Not this year.
Mm-mm.
It's been bad. If you don't have one of a couple of tight ends, you've gotten very, very little out of the position. Let's look at some guys you could try to scavenge. It's not a pretty list here. Evan Ingram's probably gone. He's housed in 70% of leagues, but if you can get him, he'd probably be my top general broadly available tight end.
Over 40 yards, two consecutive games.
Yeah, which, you know, hey, 40 yards out of the tight end position right now is considered a win.
PPR, 3 to 4 catches. So
yeah, right.
So that's 7.
All right, so let's move to some deeper options. Zach Miller is got at least 6 targets in back-to-back games. He's the only Bear other than Cohen, Tariq Cohen, to have back-to-back 6 target games. Currently healthy for Zach Miller. That's not a given. So you actually have a healthy Zach Miller right now, and you figure the Bears are going to be playing from behind a lot, like last week. What are your thoughts on Zach Miller?
I just don't love
$1.
It. There's $1. $1 is fine.
Okay, good.
I'm not
give me
ecstatic,
a buck.
But a buck is fine.
Okay.
I can't trust it, though. I feel like those targets could fall down.
Ben Watson, massive target game last week. Did 8 receptions, I want to say, for Ben Watson.
8 for 91.
Yep. 8 for 91 for Watson. I thought that, you know, obviously promising as they're trying to figure out ways to work around the injuries at tight end that happened in the preseason. And then Danny Woodhead. Amazing that the receivers are contributing nothing to that offense right now, which is surprising. And I wonder if that – well, before I segue into the receivers, Ben Watson, is he a dollar guy? In year number 76 of the NFL for him.
Sure. That's about right. Sure. He didn't even have a reception in week one, and 3 other tight ends did.
Yeah, how about that?
And last week he played a defense that is the worst
over
the last 6 or 7 weeks against tight ends. So he's worth a dollar. Got to have nothing at tight end to even be looking at the waiver wire for tight end this week.
Well, but a lot of people don't have anything at tight end. Hey, what if you've got Eifert, for example, right? Now you're like, oh, geez. You know, when you're least looking, is this guy better than Eifert? You know, can I go here? You know, there are so many disappointments at the position right now.
Yeah, there are a couple others that are out there. Maybe ASJ, who's coming off suspension.
Yeah, Austin Seferian Jenkins.
He's got a couple good matchups coming up. Matt Harrison, who's been on the show many, many, many times, mentioned Jack Doyle this morning, which he's like 75% owned. But if he's in your league, he gets the Browns, the team that Ben Watson just tore up. If he's out there, I'd throw a decent amount of money on him.
Mike Wallace, broadly available after doing nothing for a couple of weeks. Rashard Perriman, probably owned in 1% of leagues, is there. Jeremy Maclin left the game hurt.
Scored twice in a row, but yeah.
Yeah. Is any thoughts on picking up a Ravens wide receiver while we're at it?
I don't think so. I probably wouldn't, but Mike Wallace is the guy I would if I had to.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. We'll have to check on Maclin, a little bit more on Macklin's status as the week goes on here, but a loss to Maclin, I think that's a bit of what propelled the great game from Watson, because Maclin plays a slot. You know, so the middle of the field, he's not there in the middle of the field, so they ran Watson through the middle of the field.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. It was interesting that even Max Williams got 4 receptions and Nick Boyle got a reception as well. So they were really hammering that middle of the field.
Yeah, there's your Browns. There you go. Waiver wire recommendations. Check out the complete text and all the blind bidding recommendations at fanball.com. You can find the week 3 waiver wire article there, which goes into more detail than we have time for here. Scott, great job.
Thanks.
We encourage people to stay tuned here. We'll have more stuff coming this week, maybe even tomorrow. I might even do a podcast tomorrow, too.
Ooh, fun.
I know. Wouldn't that be special? Yeah, very. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye-bye.